Welcome to the world of Culture Pop with Steve Mason and Sue Kalinske. Culture.
Comedy, movies, TV, tech, authors, trends.
Pop.
Pop. This is the Culture Pop Podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Culture Pop Podcast. I'm Steve Mason along with Sue Kalinske. And Sue, you know I am fascinated by the Breaking Bad universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've got somebody who was part of it, a big part of it, on the show today. She played Marie Schrader on Breaking Bad. She followed that up with the hit sitcom Life in Pieces. And her new project is the anthology series Soulmates on the AMC network. Her episode airs on November the 9th. Betsy Brandt joins us. Hi, Betsy. How are you?
I'm good. Hi. How are you?
Everything is good. So we both watched your episode of Soulmates. And it's a fascinating premise. Describe it.
Okay, this is so wonderful and interesting to me because I actually haven't seen it yet. I mean, I was there when we shot it, so, you know, I know how it goes. The entire anthology is set 15 years in the future. And in the future, there's this test that you can take if you can afford it. Because it's not cheap, and you take this test and then you are scientifically and magically paired up with your soulmate.
Do you believe in the idea of a soulmate in general, apart from the show? Do you believe in the idea of a soulmate?
Oh God. No.
No.
I don't. No.
Steve, do you?
Oh, I completely do. I think I'm with my soulmate. I think I have a soulmate. Why don't you believe in them, Betsy?
I just think that the idea that, you know, I think it's just more about choices. I think we have more of a say in it than I wish it was that easy. I just don't think it is. And I think that's what makes it so much more complicated, is that it's not like, oh my God, I found you. And then, you know, I think you can absolutely love someone with everything that you have, but I don't think that the universe has a predetermined person for you.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I thought that my soulmate was a prior boyfriend because I had been with him for like 16 years. And so it was kind of a temporary soulmate. <You know? laughs> it totally didn't work out that way. But now I definitely believe that I'm with my soulmate.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Do you believe that science will ever be able to match people the way that is? Is science scare you at all?
I mean, I'm a big fan of science. I love science. I think that, you know, is anthropologically, I'm fascinated by these dating sites. I wanted to go on one, even though I was married. I was pregnant at the time. It was season 2 of Breaking Bad. And I said, we were in between scenes. Someone was talking about online dating. And I said, I kind of want to go on eHarmony, fill out a profile just to see what kind of person they would pair me with. I don't know if it'd be anyone like my husband or not. And one of the Sony executives said, okay, well, don't do that because people will recognize you. I'm like, I don't want to date. I'm just curious to know, like, according to their algorithm, who would eHarmony pair me up with, or whatever site that you're on. So I think that, you know, we're getting better and better at matching people with who they want to be matched with.
And by the way, Betsy, that stuff works. You know, my mom, who's 78 years old after my dad passed away, went on to match.com and met her boyfriend, and they've been together for 3 years. I mean, it really does. There is some science to it. It's not as scientific, obviously, as soulmates, but this worked.
So here's a question for you.
Yes.
So is your mom's boyfriend, are they similar? Are they, you know, opposite and there's balance? Are they, you know, what's their relationship? You know, don't give me the ins and outs, or, you know.
Yeah, no. So here's what it is. So he's 80 and my mom is 78, and he is similar to my dad.
Oh, interesting.
There are a lot of mannerisms and behaviors that remind me of my dad, and I think that's why they matched up. That's the kind of relationship that my mom was looking for.
Oh my God, that's crazy. Wow.
But also, like, the crazy thing with some of these dating sites, you know, if it's not scientific, so to speak, because you give your, you know, your background and someone else gives their background, but who knows what's real about the person? Because people lie about themselves.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go on a date with them and they're like, you're nothing like you said you were.
Yeah. This, I mean, in our show, the test supersedes all of that.
Yes.
So it's, you know, because I think when you go on these dating sites, you also get to say what kind of person you're looking for, right?
Yeah.
I've not been on one, so I don't know. But the test in Soulmates is like, there's no opinion in it. It's a scientific.
That is your person.
That is your person. And have a really happy marriage to someone and learn they're not your soulmate. You have a soulmate in some other country who is maybe even a different gender than your spouse. And you didn't see that coming. I mean, you don't weigh in at all. It's just science.
Well, you haven't seen the show yet, but I will tell you on behalf of Sue, it's fantastically creepy. It's great.
I've seen the first two episodes. I saw a very, very rough cut before it was finished of the one I did. And I was really happy with it, but I know there was some work to do, before it aired.
Well, it's great. It's great. We really, really loved it. And it's going to be on AMC and, you know, so many great shows on AMC. Hey, you know, when you were growing up in Bay City, Michigan, did you dream of being an actress?
No, not that. It wasn't a childhood dream of mine. Now that I look back, I feel like it should have been obvious. I didn't really discover that until high school. But I was always really creative, you know, like, which is probably was a blessing and a curse for my parents. To me, I look back and I'm like, oh yeah, that should have been obvious that was there all along. But, it dead end. And I also, you know, where I grew up, it wasn't really an option.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know anybody who made a living doing anything like that. So I think that was a bigger stretch for me than even just knowing that I loved it. I knew I loved it and I knew I was good at it. And that's really as far as I got until college.
Was there like a definitive like movie or play that you saw where you're like, oh my God, I have to do this?
Two things. I saw the touring company from Second City. Mm. And I quickly realized that a lot of the things I was getting in trouble for in class and school would be valued there. So I thought, that's awesome. And then I'm in Michigan. So we took a field trip, probably for English class, for literature, up to Stratford in Canada. And that was the first time I saw Shakespeare on stage. And that just was, it was just so crystal clear. I just thought that I want to do that.
So
and that's, you know, one of my first equity jobs was Shakespeare.
So Breaking Bad was obviously a gigantic show in your career. And Bryan Cranston's a buddy of mine. And I remember him telling me, you know, it's about a school teacher and he has cancer and then he starts dealing meth. And I thought, this does not sound like a show to me. When you first heard the concept of Breaking Bad, what did you think?
I didn't hear anything about it. I just read the script because I knew I was going to go in and read for Vince and some of the other producers. And so I read the script and I, can I use colorful language? I read the script and then I said to my husband, I said, in my movie version of this, I had glasses on, even though I don't have them. I closed the script. I took my glasses off and I went, holy fuck, that's the best pilot that I've ever read. And then there's a beat, and I said, I hope they actually make it, because it's like, what network is dying to put that on? And then once we did the pilot, it was just, I saw that show, even though it was a big risk, I saw that show was going to go, and I saw how committed Sony was to it, and AMC was just all in, and Cranston. I mean, it was really exciting to watch him have his time. Yeah. You know, he'd been in the business for so long, such a good actor, but you know, a lot of us, you spend a portion of your career taking the roles that come to you because you want to work and you want to pay your bills. And so when this came his way, it was just the perfect role for him at the perfect time in his career and in his life. And it was just really, really exciting to see that and watch him. I mean, I would be lying if I didn't say I learned so much from Cranston and that whole cast. I mean, it just fit together. Like when we would have those big scenes, it was great. It was really great.
So there's so many quirks with your character, you know, as far as, you know, being kleptomaniac and this obsession with the color purple. How much did you work with Vince on your on the development of your character?
Well, you know, in the beginning, so Vince was really clear about her because he's clear about everything. Like he's a man with a plan, to be sure. But, you know, in the pilot, there wasn't a lot about her. So I just wanted everything to be specific for me so that I knew who she was. And then as the show went on, I think I got even more so that way because I said to Vince, I want to make sure we're on the same page in some of these scenes, like how you see her and where she is in this moment. I mean, hopefully these are decisions we're going to live with, you know, a few seasons from now. And the purple thing, Kathleen DeToro, our costume designer, I think one of her powers, her superpowers in her work is color. And we all had colors. She gave us all colors, and purple was Marie's color. And I pushed it because I just didn't have a lot to her, and I wanted her to be such a specific person. And I said, you know what? I think the way Marie is, you know, like she's a person that I kind of envy these people. Like they never question themselves, and they always think they're right. They drive you crazy, but aren't you like, God, to be that sure about everything I say and feel? She never thinks she's wrong, you know? And like, I mean, come on, like you know someone like that.
Yes.
That's her.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it's Marie. Sue. By the way, it's Sue. She's sitting right over there.
So, you said it's Sue. You're like, it's Sue. hey, knock it off. Or her current soulmate will kick your ass.
Yes, he will.
He will.
My soulmate will try to protect me too.
Oh, good. Okay, great. That's a show right there. So I said, if purple is her color, like she doesn't do anything half-assed. She's all in. She knows it's the best color. It's all purple. And Vince loved that. And the writers just apparently really loved it too, because they just went with it. And then it was, I mean, there is no purple in my house.
Just so got rid of all purple.
It's not a purple thing for me. It wasn't like I loved the color as a kid, you know, since I was a kid and begged for Marie to have all this purple. That was the color that I got, and they loved it. And it just made her so quirky, you know? And I loved that about her. I loved that about her. And it just also was a way to kind of, you know, really show how, you know, whipped Hank is. That he's like, okay, like our house can have all this purple shit all over it. I just want you to be happy, babe. Like it was, and I loved that. Like this rough and tough guy, you know, would just, you know, let her have her way. Cause he just, you know, he wants her to be happy. And she'd be really difficult if she didn't get her way. I mean, we all know that too.
You know, Breaking Bad started slow, didn't have great ratings. And then all of a sudden it became a thing. I remember I felt like I'm watching it and a few friends are watching it. And then all of a sudden the entire world started watching it. When did that moment dawn on you that everybody was watching the show?
Oh, I still don't even, I mean, but I don't think like that because it's just not how I do life. You know, like I just go about like nobody has seen anything I've done. That's just, I'm from Michigan. It's just like, that's just what I do. But I was aware there was a shift in Breaking Bad, because I felt it was like, you know, you guys were watching it, a couple other people, and my parents. And then it seemed like, you know, there was just all of this love for it. And it was so exciting. I have to say, though, it's always really special to me when I meet someone who watched it from the beginning, because I'm like, you are the reason we stayed on the air. Because our fans, we didn't have a lot, but they were super fans. And you took the whole journey with us. You know, I mean, we knew from the beginning as a cast, like, even when there weren't many eyeballs on it, just how great that show was. I mean, amazing.
When you read the pilot, did you anticipate how dark it was going to become?
No, I thought it was funny. I asked Dean Norris, when I saw him in the waiting room, if I said, is this a comedy? Because I think it's a comedy. And he goes, oh, yeah. We both went in there and read it like, you know, not like a multicam, but like, I was like, it's funny. I think it's funny. I still think it's funny.
It's quirky.
It's quirky. I think, you know, but that's life. Like, even in a really dark story, if it's realistic, you're going to find moments for humor. I mean, you know, when Jesse calls a barn a cowhouse, that shit is funny. It's funny, and it's so honest. It's like, to me, it doesn't get any funnier than that.
How did Breaking Bad change your life and your career?
Oh, I mean, it's indescribable. I mean, listen, AMC wouldn't have come to me with this job if I hadn't done that. I don't even know where to start. I mean, it's a great question, but I don't even know where to start. And it, you know, the one thing that made it really difficult is I thought, what do you do after that?
Yeah.
You know, like, nothing. I did a comedy. I went and did, and I'd never done a comedy on TV. So I did the Michael J. Fox show, and because that seemed obvious. Like, Mike Fox wants you to play his wife on his new show. You say, yeah. And NBC, you know, picked it up straight to series, no back nine, just a straight 22 episodes. So that, you know, it was a pretty privileged life so far. You know, I was pretty young in my career when I got Breaking Bad, and then I went and did that. But I, you know, really was intrigued by doing a comedy because I couldn't imagine how I could follow Breaking Bad with another drama and be happy with it. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up doing Masters of Sex and Parenthood. And then I realized, you know, you can absolutely do great drama. It's not Breaking Bad. But it was just like, I knew that was going to be a tough act to follow. And it still is. You know, I had to get to a place where, you know, you don't compare everything to Breaking Bad, or you just, like, you should just retire. Like, you have to. And I love what I do. I love what I do. So, you know, you want to keep going and doing it. And it's also, you know, for me in my career, and when I, you know, was getting out there and wanted, I said, okay, I think maybe we do a comedy. I felt like, you know, everybody in the business wanted me to play half hour Marie, you know, like the comedy version of Marie. And I think that could be really funny, but I replayed her. I played her for 6 years and I didn't need to keep playing her. So, you know, I just wanted to find someone who, you know, play someone who was different from her, which was incredibly fun to do too.
So when you talk about, you know, the changes in your career, are you at a place now where you just get offers, you don't have to audition for stuff?
I do a little bit of both. I mean, I do for some, you know, big movies and stuff. I have had some movie offers that they are just offers. And that's really great. And, you know, but yeah, no, I audition for some stuff too. Not very often. And, you know, that's nice. But, you know, yeah, for TV, it's mostly just I feel like I'm bragging saying that.
No. This is all about you. This is all about you. We love getting people on and getting them talking like this. It's fantastic. You did Life in Pieces, which is a second shout out to my mom and her boyfriend, Leo. They turned me onto the show. They absolutely loved it. And then I raced through all four seasons of it. How did that come about? And do you consider that to be sort of the next big step in your career after Breaking Bad?
Yeah, the similarity in that was that group of people, that was a phenomenal cast. And I still to this day love the creator of that show, Justin Adler. And working with him was, you know, when I had a meeting with him and I was like, yeah, I want to tell your story. Like he's really funny. He's really smart. And then, you know, they were putting that cast together and I knew Colin had already signed on and he's, you know, I'm a big fan of his. And, I knew they were out to Diane Wiest. And I thought, okay, so if that's like the tone they're going for, and I was a huge, 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 huge fan, and now I'm an even bigger, bigger fan of Diane's. I watched, you know, like I already knew I wanted to be an actor, but I remember watching, I had chicken pox in college, and I was doing a play, and I had to pull out of the play because I had chicken pox, and it was a you know, big downer. And I was living in the dorms. It was, you know, my first year I was living in the dorms. And so my parents had to drive to school and like, get me a hotel room and set me up so I could live on my own and not be in the dorms because I was contagious. So I remember being, you know, on my own and having chicken pox and, everyone else was at this big party and I couldn't go to the big party. And, watching Hannah and Her Sisters.
Oh, it's such a great movie.
Okay.
Oh my God. I was already a fan of Woody Allen's work, but like to see Diane in that movie is just amazing. And then seeing her in Parenthood was just like pivotal for me as an actor, the way that she does drama and comedy and the way she goes about her work. She's just, she's so phenomenal and she's just lovely to be on set with. Like, you meet someone like that and you think, oh God, please don't disappoint me. There's no way you can live up to.
Yeah, they say don't meet your idols, right?
Right? And she, it's like, I don't care what's happening. It could be the apocalypse. And she is so magical. I feel like she would float down from the sky in a bubble like Glinda the Good Witch, the Wizard of Oz. And then she would look at you if she met you with those warm eyes and just go, well, hi. I think a really great imitation of her.
That is a good impression.
Yeah, you can't even see my face. The face is good. It was a joy to play her daughter. Tommy's one of my best friends, Tommy Zdarsky, and it was just a fantastic cast.
I came to the show late, actually. Last night was the first time I watched the show.
That's very late. You came to the show very late.
I had heard it was really good, and for some reason, I just never watched it. And so I watched three of the first three episodes, and I have to tell you, the show is so great and so smart and so funny. Like Steve and I were talking about it, how it has that kind of Parenthood, Modern Family, but better.
Yeah, to me, but better also. It's funnier. It's quirkier. It's, it makes me laugh out loud.
And it's got that, you know, the four story aspect to it, which I thought was a very, very clever way of doing it. But I have to tell you two things. James Brolin, I cannot believe what a goofball he is. I'm much older than you, so I remember him on Marcus Welby. You know what I mean? So funny. And the younger daughter, there was one moment, just the sarcasm from someone that age, and it's not precocious. Yeah. I mean, it's so real. But there was one line where you said to your husband, he loves me He loves me more than all the three of you. And your daughter says, Oh, it's sweet that you think that. It was about asking what kid you love the best. And it was just, it was so perfect and so funny and so real. I can't wait to watch the rest of it.
It's great. It's so funny. We all are getting messages from people saying they're just discovering the show now during COVID and how great it is and how much they love it. I mean, it's a shame that it's canceled, but it's nice to know that it's out there and it's still making people happy. And we did have a blast doing it. We had a blast. Can I talk about Jim Brolin for a second?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so yes, he's such a big presence. And he's, who doesn't love James Brolin? And he's still like, the guy has still got it. Like, I think he always will have it. And he's so sweet and so, just gushy about his wife. And he is such a goofball. Like, I would have so much fun on set with him. We would do our scenes and sometimes pretend that we have lisps, and then I would have a hard time stopping. We actually have to shoot it, and we don't. Our characters don't have lisps. But I had such a great time with Jim. I loved my days when it was, me and Jim. And he is also, again, he's so goofy, but he also was the person that, like, he would say things that would just get me. Like, we were doing an interview, a panel for the show at the Paley Center, and we're all talking about the show and, what work is like. And Jim said, when I get up to the doors at stage 8, I don't know what's going to happen on the other side, but I know it's going to be pretty spectacular. And I just he's just really grateful, and he's just, he was a really great TV dad for me those 4 years.
So how are you just generally in life holding up in this age of COVID?
I have days where I'm like really, really eager to go back. And then I have days where I'm like, I'm good here. It's been really spectacular for me to have this time with my kids. I haven't had this much time, I think, since after I had like 6 months in between seasons of Breaking Bad after I gave birth to my son, season 2. And I didn't, I didn't do anything that hiatus. I just stayed home with my kid and then went back. But it's also really nice to slow down. And now I feel like now I'm starting to look at other jobs and I'm like, oh my God, I'm just going to be when it gets back to normal, I'll just be like crazy busy again. And then have to remind myself to slow down, but that's a champagne problem that I'm fine with managing. And I'm doing a lot of yoga. I'm drinking a lot of wine and cocktails and doing a lot of yoga.
Yeah. I've started out being really good and did a lot of yoga at the very beginning. And then my weight ballooned to 217, which is huge for me. And I've scrapped my way back to 204, but I started out doing yoga, and then I just started eating, and I got myself into all kinds of trouble. But people, a lot of people are in this boat, whether it's an extra cocktail or extra glass of wine or you pick up a couple of pounds. I think now's the time to be really self-forgiving. You got to forgive yourself for some of this stuff because we're under extraordinary circumstances right now.
Yeah. I think you have to find we live up in the hills in L.A., and so, we walk a lot. My daughter and I will run, but I think like being outside has been really great. You have to find whatever it is. Like, you have to figure out what it is that's going to keep you sane right now and just lean into it. You have to. And that I say that with, what works for me may absolutely not work for you and vice versa. But it's like, that's really what this is. I mean, I'm curious to see how we're going to come out of this, what we're going to be like as a society. And there's so much going on right now. I feel like we're all,
it's kind of frantic out. It's frantic out there.
Yeah. It's kind of frantic, but I really think that it had to get this bad for things to, you know, for some good change to come to. I'm hanging on to that happens. You know, I feel like we've talked about making those changes, and now I think we might actually do that.
Yeah, I like that.
I hope so. I'm actually golfing more than I ever have, so now I'm frustrated 5 days a week. So that's the big change in my life.
When you do that, tell me, is that like that's 18 holes? Or are you going to the range?
I do both. And I actually have been golfing a long time, but I've taken so many breaks in between. And so now I'm taking lessons again. And
that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I'm what's happening is that I take lessons. I'm great with the instructor. I'm great at the range. And then I go out and it's not as good.
No, you get worse. You get worse, and then you get better.
Right? Do you golf? Do you golf?
A little bit, yeah. So you realize what you're doing wrong, and then you have to like everything you did that like got you where you are. You have to learn to undo it, do the new stuff, and then, so yeah. So you and that's frustrating. I mean, that's why. Oh, you just want to like it can be the worst thing, and you're like, why do I do this to myself? But when you get like a good whack and you hear that whack.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's the truth. It's like, a drug. You're like, it's a total drug.
Yeah. I was just going to say, there's my crack. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what it is too, because I take lessons, and when I take lessons, I'm hitting off of a mat, and that's more forgiving. Yeah. And then I go out on the course and it's completely different hitting on grass. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, come on. Do you think I'm proud when I miss the ball? Like, strike. I missed the ball.
That's problematic. That's problematic.
You know, it's not my proudest moment.
Sure.
But,
sure.
You know, I'm still happy to be out there. Where are you? Should I know that?
We're both in LA.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're both right in it here with you.
I love the course at Terranea.
Oh, yeah. My broadcast partner on ESPN, John Ireland, plays at Terranea all the time. It's a beautiful, beautiful resort.
It's a view. And it's an easy course. That's my speed. That's totally my speed. And I'll play it with my kids. I've almost every time I golf, I see a whale after like when we're on the last hole.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's like, there's a view from every green. It's amazing. And it's so pretty up there. And I'm a big fan of Joan Didion, and I just always being in that part of the state reminds me of her.
Sure. Well, listen, Betsy, we've had a fun talk. I appreciate meeting you a lot. Huge fan from Breaking Bad, obviously. Life in Pieces, if you're looking for a show for the whole family to watch during the pandemic, it's all there. It's all on demand. And the new anthology series is Soulmates. It's on the AMC network. Betsy's particular episode will air on November 9th. The show is premiering in October. It is fantastically, enjoyably creepy. I think that's a very good review.
I think it's thought provoking. I think it like, have you watched the first couple ones?
No, I skipped straight to yours, but I am going to go back and watch the beginnings.
Oh my God. Go watch.
I actually watched the first episode.
Oh God. What did you think?
I watched your episode first, and then I watched the first one just because I wanted to compare the two of them.
Yeah. I mean,
And the first one was very interesting. I love the twist in it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, there's a good tease. The show is Soulmates. It's on AMC. Of course, the people at AMC, fantastic. Always great programming over there. And Betsy, thank you very much for joining us and for hanging out a little bit. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was so great to talk to you guys. I'll see you on the golf course. Please tell your mom and Leo I say hi, and give your soulmates a big squeeze for me.
We'll do it. Thank you, Betsy.
Okay, Betsy. Thank you so much. Bye.
And there's Betsy Brandt, who is a delight, Sue.
You know, I knew she would be. You know, it's like, it's funny because we were talking about, you know, you meet people and show, you know, you see people in show business, you see them on a show or a film, and you're a fan, and you're hoping that they're going to be as wonderful as you hope they're going to be. And she totally was.
Yeah, she really was. And by the way, this Soulmate show is pretty fascinating. The idea being that sometime in the future, you will be able, science will be able to match you with the exact perfect person for you, your soulmate. Do you believe that's ever actually going to be possible, Sue?
You know, the more I watch shows like this and Black Mirror,
yep,
I do fear that things like this are going to come to fruition. And
Wait a minute. What's the downside of this? I mean, take Betsy's episode aside. We don't want to spoil that. But what's the bad side of science telling you, hey, here's the perfect person for you?
Well, if you watch the first episode.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see it. Don't spoil
understand.
The first one
you'll, yeah, you'll understand why I'm saying it. But, you know, it's just this interference kind of thing. Like what Betsy was saying was so funny, how she wanted to go on a dating site because, you know, she was married, but she just wanted to see who they would pair her up with, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, well, you know, I'm just window shopping kind of thing. No
sure.
Foul, no harm, you know? But in some instances where it can cause psychological damage, that's the scary part to me, you know?
And see, I love all that science stuff, yeah. Sue. Like Elon Musk is developing a chip that can go in your brain called the Neuralink, and all of a sudden you'll have the internet in your brain. You'll be able to think about something, and all of a sudden you'll know the answer to it just like that. Who doesn't want that?
I don't. And, you know, it's like I was actually out to lunch with some friends today, and we were talking. I was talking about soulmates, and I was saying that, you know, we were going to be interviewing Betsy. And I asked the table, what do you recall, like, the first time you were freaked out by technology?
Mm.
And for me, I remember calling somebody and they knew who I was without.
So caller ID.
Caller ID. And they were like, hey, so, like when like the phone rang, they picked it up and they went, hey, Sue, how you doing? I'm like, whoa, how do you know it's me? And
yeah.
They're like, oh, your number and name came on my phone. I was like, ugh, that is creepy.
Well, you know, I've come to believe, Sue, that our phones and computers are definitely listening to us and they're definitely spying on us. That's why I keep a little black tape over the little camera lens on my computer. Mm-hmm. And if you update your iPhone, there's actually this little button that will light up if somebody is listening in on you or videoing you. But I think it's getting very, very intrusive. You happen to mention, like, for example, I would not surprise me. We mentioned Terranea Resort. Now, would it be surprising if later on tonight I went on the internet and there was an ad for Terranea Resort?
No, not at all. I mean,
no.
That's creepy too. That's the kind of stuff that happens all the time. You know, like, you know, you're looking for something and then it just appears, or, you know, like I'll be shopping and then I won't buy it. And sometimes I'll even get as far as putting something in my cart and then I decide I don't want it. And then I'll get an email. Hey, you know, hey, you look like you were very interested in that. You sure you don't want it?
Very
and I'm
spooky.
Like, what are you? They're like drug dealers. You know? It's like, what do you mean? It's like, it's none of your business. You know, I decided I didn't want it. Now I have to have a conversation with you about it. It's bizarre.
It is weird. So that's where the technology gets. It's the spying on people or listening in on people that just creeps me out. And then seeing an ad for something I just talked about is, that's too much.
Yeah,
that's too much technology.
Yeah, and I, look, you know, I remember when I was a kid and, you know, you had multiple phones in the house and I pick up the phone and it was for me and I can kind of tell that maybe my brother.
Did they have phones when you were a kid?
Yes, they did. So I could kind of tell that one of my brothers was probably listening and it would be like, Rick! Get off the phone.
Yeah.
Like you hear like a little bit of breathing or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Know?
I remember that. Listening in on people's calls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Multiple phones in the house. Yeah. All right. So, Sue, that was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. And by the way, the thing that came out of that, Betsy apparently does not have a soulmate, but she doesn't believe in them. But you and I both found our soulmates.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So there's the upside of the entire conversation. All right. You know what time it is, Sue?
Chick up.
So accidents happen every day here in LA. Maybe you were stuck in one in the freeway, an accident today or another one earlier this week. If you or somebody you know is injured in any kind of accident, there is only one person to call, and that is my friend Jacob. Unlike other law firms in town where the person whose name is on the building hasn't even practiced law in years, Jacob is at the office every day working on helping people who have reached out to him and trusted him with their case. What makes Jacob great is that he's developed a whole team around him that can handle the workload. And it lets Jacob do what he does best, which is fight the insurance company and fight the mediators to get you the compensation that you deserve. Jacob has been doing this for 24 years. He is an expert at all types of injury situations. He's ready to assist you and your family for a free, that's right, free consultation. Call Jacob, 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB, or remember the catchy jingle.
All right, I got a guest one for you. This is all right, here we go. This I just want to tell you, this is my friend Mark Cohn, who's a comedian.
Yep.
House MC at the Comedy Cellar in Las Vegas at the Rio, and his daughter.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Ready.
Here we go.
For accident or injury, call Jacob Emrani. Call Jacob.
Wow. That was fantastic.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, Jacob is going to be thrilled with that. I think she was singing harmony. Was she singing harmony?
She was.
Very impressive. Keep bringing your friends, Sue.
I am.
To sing the Jacob jingle.
Good.
Makes a big difference.
Good.
Hey, Sue, great talking to you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you being on the show with me as well.
That's the Culture Pop Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We appreciate you being out there. Thank you very much, and see you next time.
Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. We'll see you next week for an all-new episode of Culture Pop.